I'd like to say good evening to everyone who came out tonight and completed our worship service. And as most of us know, we don't have any visitors here, but Brother Allen is in Malawi, South Africa, and he's away, and he's doing some wonderful work there, so I understand. And tonight, we are going to hear something about what it is, the Christian life. I think Brother George hit on something this morning about the Christian life, and I just wanted to kind of follow up on some things. So tonight, we will take a look at something that we are going to talk about tonight. What is the Christian life? You know, the distinguishing marks of a Christian life is to live by faith. When a person becomes a Christian, it is through faith in Jesus Christ that our faith in Jesus Christ changes our lives, beginning the process of a life of faith in our daily walk with Christ and in His Word. In other words, reading something from God's word every day is what helps us to have that Christian life. And living a Christian life is like living like the example that Paul set for us after he was converted on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. Paul is a good example for us. A Christian life is to be lived by faith. Now, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the just shall live by faith, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. In other words, Christians seek to live by the teachings of Jesus and of the scriptures, yet do so by faith based on our love for God and others. Our Christians live for Christ because of God's love, not in order to earn God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Those who believe by his Son's word is justified whenever we believe in what God's word is saying. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It shows how this process looks. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes a different mindset, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, none of us can be perfect. Only one is perfect, that's Christ himself. But we can be mature as we grow from day to day in God's word. A Christian's life is one devoted to living for God instead of being changed by the world. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are being changed by the world and the world system and the things that go on in the world. The Christian changed by Christ and then changed the world. Then others can see how you have been changed. In other words, it's kind of like, I used to do this. I used to talk that way. I used to go that way. I used to do these things that Christ did not approve of. That's how we were sometime at one time. We changed our formula of life. In other words, that old self-love is what we give up. Sorry about that. In in addition to a Christian life. Includes much endurance or perseverance. James chapter 1 verses 2 and 3 notes, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And what steadfastness is something that is firm, something that is fixed, something that is in place. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In the Christian life, God calls us to faithfully endure life challenges and even to ask him in faith, not doubting, to help increase our endurance and living for Christ. We never want to fail to ask the Lord to help us to increase with our endurance, because we have so much to go through. The Christian life is a life of service also too. The Christian life is also certain of one service. Jesus came to serve others and called his followers to do the same. This involves being ones or helping or loving one's neighbor as yourself and helping those that are in need. What can I do to help someone? In other words, someone may need some food. Someone may need a ride from point A to point B. Or helping the lost find their way. Or visiting the hospital to see sick and shut-in members. Or just a complete smile. Or encouraging someone in some way. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. In other words, helping those we can help. Have we ever needed any help ourselves? I'm sure that at one time, most of all of us have needed some kind of help from someone, and that would be a good thing for us to take note of, because we all need help at some time. The Christian life for service in Titus chapter 3 and the verses 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In other words, we want to be strong, we want to be confident that we can do this. Grace is what justifies us when we are obedient to Christ's will. Also in John chapter 10 and the verses 10, a thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In other words, plentiful, a large quantity of it, something that is rich and that is full, a full life as we live for Christ and doing his will. John chapter 3 and the verses 16, for God so loved the world. God loves the people in the world. He just don't love the way that some people act and carry and conduct themselves. So that the love the world, so the that he has given his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, because God first loved us, we ought to love others as well. It's our Christian duty as a Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. In other words, it's kind of like a riddle or something like that. Sometimes you have to figure some things out. But eventually, if you keep thinking about it or doing some things, you'll figure out it'll be much clearer to you. Verse 13 says, and now abide faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, or love. What does it mean to be a Christian, to be in the world, but not of the world? There are too many people who want to be a Christian, but they want to have those worldly attributes also too. Christians believers reside in this world. We are here for a purpose. Remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, when Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Well, he knew what his purpose was. And we should also, as Christians, know what our purpose is also too. Jesus told his disciples to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He told us that we are to be witnesses to the world also too. We don't want to be of the world system, but we want to be of the spiritual system. And it requires us to be free from worldly influence. Acts chapter 1 and the verses 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the utmost parts of the earth. At this time, he was talking to his disciples, and what he was talking about and concerned about was world evangelism, that great commission. Well, we still have that commission today, is to go into the world. He was talking to his disciples at that time, but we too need to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, God was letting Israel know that he had redeemed them. He says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servants, whom I have chosen. Christ chose us through the gospel, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Just as he was letting Israel know that he's the one and only God, Christ is letting us know too, that he's the one that we should follow. Sorry, I think I missed one here. We have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. In other words, we don't want to be part of all of those things that are going on in this world, in this world system, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and the verses 11. We are ambassadors. And what is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative. And that's what we do, is we represent Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We're spreading his fragrance. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And it's through the world. Go into all the world and spread God's or Christ's fragrance. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, a peculiar people that has been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. And then also in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, let us walk in the light as he is in the light. In other words, we want to stay where the light is. We don't want to go into the darkness. Because when we go into the darkness, we start going into a part of our life that we are not a part of. We're supposed to expose those things. So we want to watch what we do and how we go about doing it. Christians' obligation and duty. As a Christian, we do have an obligation. Every citizen of any country has certain obligations that they are required to fulfill. These vary from country to country. The kingdom of God is no exception. It's no exception. We have obligations and duty to discharge. God wants us to be good citizens in his kingdom. In other words, like being good citizen in your own community is what God wants us to do in the church. We must be in subjection to governments. Romans chapter 13 and verses 1. Let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. In other words, that principle that God has already set up. It is not an option, but it is absolute necessary. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. All we're saying here is that we need to give respect to God. We give respect to those in the brotherhood, and we give respect to those who are in positions of authority. We want to respect them. We ought to be ready for every good work. This can sum up the whole mission in Matthew chapter 5 and the verses 16. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God gets the glory for all things. And when people can see that you are letting your light shine, not shine your light, but let your light shine so that people can see this is a Christian. This truly is someone who is trying to do the will of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, recreated by Christ Jesus for good works whenever we obey him. Our spiritual lives, so that we can do good works. Whenever we have been recreated by Christ through the watery grave of baptism, and we see that there are things that we can be doing, all of us should be busy doing something. It's like we said earlier, if it's nothing but just visiting someone who's in the hospital or encouraging someone who needs to be encouraged because of something that has happened in their life. We thank God that he can use us to be able to do so. Also in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 12, having your conversation or conduct honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, you know, people are going to say something about you no matter what you do. You can do something for someone, they're still going to say something about you, something they don't like about you. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, they can see your conduct of good works. And that's what we want to be known as, someone who's doing a good work. You might not be able to preach like some people do or do the things that they do, but you can do something. Your good works. Also, we must be peaceable. And I'm just going to use some of the verses here. In Proverbs chapter 17, where it says, stop contentions before a quarrel starts. Whenever we see a situation, we want to defuse that situation. We don't want to continue on building it up. Because if you do, then it's going to be like, well, you know no better than anybody else. Also, we must show a spirit of gentleness and humbleness to all. And I'm using Romans chapter 12 and verses 3. not to think of himself more highly than we ought to think. You know, because we're Christians, we don't want to be have this air that I'm better than anybody else. I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and I have these high standards or whatever. Yes, we do have standards, high standards, but we want to be able to do that in a humble type way and not just do it to make someone feel bad. The Christian life is a life of repentance. And this is something that whenever we see that there is something wrong in our life, we want to repent of those things. Whenever we say something or do something or we find ourselves in a situation, we want to be able to repent of those things. According to Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, at the time, this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And repent is turning from and turning to. If we are going in a direction that we know that we shouldn't be going in, we want to turn. I do a 180-degree turn. You're turning from that. If you do a 360, that means you're turning back and you're going right back in the same direction that you were coming, that you were going. So we want to change. First of all, we want to recognize that there is something that is wrong in my life, and I want God to straighten it out. So this is why, brothers and sisters, pray for us. And we don't want to be ashamed, because all have sinned. Every one of us have sinned in some kind of way, our words, our thoughts, our deeds, our action, or whatever. But whenever we do see that there is something that we need to change, that we need to make it known. Also, we want to be careful about what we say and how we phrase certain things. You know, there are a lot of people who say a lot of things out of ignorance. And sometimes you can't, most of the time you can't take it back. Because once you get out there, there's a situation where, if you hadn't said that, then it would be okay. But sometimes when a person says something, it can really be disruptive, and it can make someone feel real bad about a situation. All of us are human, and we all do things that we shouldn't do, but we have to watch. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And if I feel like that there's a corrupt communication that I'm saying, then I should bite my tongue, or I shouldn't say what I'm going to say. And if I say something, then it would be good for me to immediately, I've said this, I've said that, would you forgive me for that? We're supposed to be mature Christians. So let us act like we are mature Christians. Also, we all are servants. And I'm using Galatians chapter 3 and the verses 17. Whatever you do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That lets everyone know that I am a servant, and I'm going to do this in Christ's name. I don't want to do it in my name. I don't want the credit for this. This is what God has told me to do, and I want to do that to the best of my ability. I may not be able to do what this brother or that sister do or whatever, but at least I'll do something to let someone know or they can see that I'm doing what I'm doing in the name of Christ. Also, what is a servant? A servant is a person in subjection to God and Christ. And I'm using Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. I'm just going to do a little part of this right here. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for all. Christ came down, and he was a servant. And he gave his life for all of us. What we can do is also realize those things and be like Christ. We are nothing but servants. And whenever we do something, all we can say is, that I'm an unprofitable servant. I only did that which I was commanded to do. So sometimes we may want to go beyond what we can do. Also, the Christian life is a life of faith. And I know that all of us know what Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Also, Christians are commanded to grow in our faith also, too. Because in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18, the Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we can always learn something from God's word. And we want to grow in his word. Now, my next question is, how is salvation obtained for a Christian? How is salvation obtained for a Christian? This question reminds one of several questions asked in the first century when the gospel was first preached in its fullness. The respondents asked Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts chapter 2 and the verses 37. And about 20 years later, the question was posed to Paul and Silas. Sirs, what must I do in order to be saved? Acts chapter 16 and the verse is 30. Peter, well, back in Acts chapter 2, verse 23 to 36, Peter had convinced some of the audience, his audience, that they had crucified the Messiah in Acts chapter 2, verse 23 to 36. They wanted to be saved. And there are a lot of people that wants to be saved today. In answering their question, Peter stated, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 38. It seemed like an easy process, but it's very difficult for some people. Repent, and you're baptized. Now, a person can't be taught wrong and baptized right. If the teachings is wrong, the baptism is wrong. I've talked with people over the years, so I've been baptized 3, 4, 5 times. I was baptized over here, I was baptized over there. And what I said was, have you considered the teachings of how you were taught? All these were good people. All they had a good thing. They showed me a lot of good things, you know. Well, maybe we need to sit down and talk about what you were taught. And then let's compare what you were taught to what we're saying, what the Bible is saying. It's not so much what I'm saying. I'm just going by what the Bible is saying. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. You can be baptized many times, but that doesn't mean that you're saved. Okay, to go on with this right here. These people had already been told to believe. Verse 36, Acts 2, verse 36. And we necessarily infer that they were told to confess Christ's deity. Romans 10 and the verses 10. Okay, oh yeah, there it is. Okay, Romans 10 and the verses 10, which says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Also in Acts chapter 8 and the verses 37, they were not disobedient. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Therefore, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And then you also can see Galatians chapter 26, chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And then we have an example here of the Philippian jailer. In the case of the jailer of Philippi in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 40, it's consistent with the teaching in Acts chapter 2. The jailer was told to believe, Acts 16:31. Paul and Silas then spoke unto him the word of the Lord so he could believe, Acts 16:32. And then also Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. His confession of Jesus was made We are also told he was baptized, he and all his straightway, verse 33. Notice they immediately baptized him. They were promptly baptized because of his faith, his repentance, his confession for the remission of sin, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and then 22:16. People do the same thing today to be saved: hearing, believing, repenting, confession, and baptism. All of these show the requirements of salvation. I am so sorry. Can you all hear me? I didn't cut this mic off. Sorry about that. The conclusion. The message of victory is that Christians is not alone in his effort. God is with him. After commanding Christians to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, Paul states, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. And then, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." All sacrifice and struggles shall be worth it when the crown of glory that fadeth not away is received. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 12 through 16. And James chapter 1 verse 12. And in James chapter 1 verse 12, it says, "Receiving the crown of life the Lord has promised to them that love him." God's plan to save man. You know, it was Abraham Lincoln, perhaps summed it all up best when he wrote, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given a man. All good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. In this book, it tells us how to live and be saved and how to love one another." Talking about the Bible. Now, the plan of salvation. We hear God's word, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Believe, Hebrews 11, verse 6, John 8, 24. Repentance, Luke 13, 3, Acts 17, verse 30 and 31. And then confession, Matthew 10, 32 through 33, Romans 10, 9 through 19. And then lastly, we're baptized. And that baptism is for the remission of sin. And in Revelations 2:10, we are to remain steadfast and faithful. This is what a Christian's life is and what we do in order to be saved. Those things that was pointed out, and I apologize for some of the inconvenience there that you might have went through, but I hope that you get what I was saying, because those things I truly do mean. And what is a Christian life? A Christian life is a life of commitment. And that's what we are to do when we become a Christian, is commit ourselves to what God's word is saying, not what I think. I don't want to give you my idea, my thought, or opinion. It's what God's word is saying. We want to go to the scriptures. So if there's anyone here who want to come forward and express something that is on their heart, we don't have anyone here. I think all here has been baptized. But if you want to come forward, and have prayer with the brothers here, you can do so. So at this time, let us all stand and sing the song of invitation.